Welcome to World Cup Report Worldwide, a podcast dedicated to worldwide events in the Blood Bowl community, with your hosts, Tim and Steve.
You are listening to World Cup Report Worldwide with your host, Steve Kilowagi Campbell, and me, Tim Vitamin T Lyons. We're here with episode number 4, where we'll be going over our first entry into the Euro Bowl Europan rules.
Yay, I guess.
Yeah. Are you excited, Steve?
That's a word that we could use. Excitement means like excited, happy, and excited, intimidated, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then sure.
These rules are kind of like a monolith.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
So, as he stated, we're going to be going over the Euro Bowl and the Europan rules. They're the same in a way. So, the two tournaments. Was it Europan is 8 players from a nation, and then that's Euro Bowl.
Euro Bowl is 8 player teams.
Is the 8 player teams, 1 per nation, and then Europan is just everybody else, right?
Right. Though I think there's national teams in that too, maybe, if they can't get large enough squads together for Europan or something.
Okay, makes sense.
Got into that a little bit in their rules here, but...
Yeah, and Europan's kind of a misnomenclature because they are allowing other countries as well. It's not just people in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And even kind of mismatched squads once all the national squads have had their time to register and if there's still spots available.
And I really think like the only main thing with being a non-European squad is we can't win the right to host it, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we should probably know better.
That goes to the team that finishes the highest and has never hosted before. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's my understanding is they have not hosted and they're the highest finishing. So it could be 10 teams ahead of them, but if it's like Croatia's never hosted it and Croatia's 11th and the top 10 have all hosted it before, Croatia would get it. Hmm. No.
Very cool.
We could be wrong. If we are, feel free to let us know and we can do a follow-up on the next episode or something, but that's how we understand it to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I guess we should probably go over kind of some specifics of the event itself.
Yeah, that'd be good. Go ahead and let us know where and when it is.
Yes. So it is occurring September 28th and 29th of this year. I believe it is in a portion of Athens. I think this Peristeri Exhibition Center, this Peristeri is either a city that's conjoined to Athens or a suburb, a part of it or a neighborhood. We don't know for sure.
Yeah.
Specifically, but it's in Athens, Greece. It's very cool. I'd love to go there, but don't think that's going to happen for me.
I think I'm on the fence. Right now, I want to go because it's a big international tournament. And I want to see people and hang out and do stuff. Also, I've never been to Greece, so it'd give me an excuse to go there. It's also a lot of money, a lot of time, and there's nothing really about Greece. No offense to anyone from Greece, but that's not really anything from Greece that's really drawing me to go there.
Wow. Yeah. Greece is near the top of my my list like that, I guess.
I think, and again, don't hate on me, anyone from Greece. I understand the difference, but I've been to Rome. I've seen all the stuff growing up that, you know, I had a big Roman kick, and I've seen the stuff that I wanted to see in Rome. Greece, I understand it is older and has different things and the different art and all this type of stuff. I get it. But to me, it's kind of a Rome part 2, you know.
But more that's like Rome part 0.
True. Or Rome minus 1.
Yeah, Godzilla. Exactly.
Which, if you haven't seen Godzilla minus 1, awesome movie. So, just throwing that out there. So, these rules. You might sense some sort of hesitation and trepidation on our part of wanting to get into these rules. They are a bit much. Is that the best way to say it?
Especially just trying to read through them. I think it feels like a lot. I don't think they're as daunting as they appear at first, certainly. But,
yeah.
Just, you know, browsing through them, there's a lot going on compared to even a normal complicated Blood Bowl tournament, really.
Right. I mean, I put on Spiky Cup every year, and it's usually really complicated. This one seems to outdo it. However, as you said, after you get through some of the fluff, it's not as bad. We could really take these rules and create a non-fluff version, and it would probably make a lot more sense.
Yeah, I think that's true. I was going to ask you kind of with the... I don't know with the kind of Greek pantheon naming system and all the kind of mythological info that they tried to put in here, if I love it more than anything or I hate it so much. I can't even really tell.
I don't know, honestly, either. I mean, it is right at the cusp of really awesome and maybe just a little too much.
Yeah. I mean, it's so thematic and fluffy, but then also it kind of isn't at all because it's fluff that has nothing to do with Blood Bowl world. So
yeah,
I don't know. You're the fluff guy. Do you think this is really fluffy or is it not?
It is locationally specific fluff.
Right.
So it's all about Greek gods and stuff. And I get that. And some of the gifts and boons and stuff that we'll get into mildly thematic, but in reality, it's just renaming things. And that's where it looks more confusing than it actually is, because, you know, it's different gods and stuff, but really it's just different tiers. It's different blessings, but they're just different skill packages or, you know, squad packages, stuff like that. So it's less fluff more than just renaming based on the locale, which I'm fine with. But again, it does get a little daunting when you look at the page and just, wow.
Yeah, right.
So we will do our best to get through it and explain things correctly. If we miss something, please let us know. Again, we're not perfect. We try to do our best. But why don't you go ahead and start off with the challenge of Aphrodite?
Yes. So this is kind of in the middle of the written rule set, if anybody's going through that. But it's such an integral part of the difference between Euro Bowl and European that we kind of felt like we'd go over at the beginning. So Challenge of Aphrodite is the Euro Bowl teams are designed as eight team squads. You can't repeat any races in those teams, so you're going to have to use eight of the, I think, 29 teams. You get eight squad points, which we'll go over later, to be spent on blessings, and you can take each blessing a maximum of two times.
Yeah, so that's Euro Bowl, and then I'll do European.
Yeah.
European squad, again, this is for the people who are not in the main tournament, quote-unquote. Each squad consists of four coaches instead of eight. Again, have to play a different race, each person. And then each squad can spend up to four squad points on blessings. Each blessing can only be used a maximum of one time in each squad. So it's pretty much just the same as the other one, just cut in half, which makes nice.
Right.
Yeah. And then go ahead and go over the blessings.
Okay. So you want to start with the blessings first?
Well, we should probably come back to the blessings. We'll go ahead and we'll re-talk about them when we actually get into them. But let's go ahead and go with the tiers themselves.
Sure.
Because you got to know what team you're going to take before you figure out how you're going to take them.
I mean, the tiers are moderately standard Blood Bowl tiers. There's six overall. The first one are the Champions of Zeus, so Tier 1, which are all Tier 1 staples, Chaos Dwarves, Dark Elves, Dwarves, Lizardmen, Shambling Undead. But it does include Underworld Denizens, so I think that's the biggest news out of Tier 1. Maybe they won't end up with the top win percentage in a big tournament for once. Maybe.
Yeah, we can hope. It's a good placement there, I think.
Yeah.
Tier 2 is the Champions of Hera. Amazons, Norse, Orcs, Skaven, and Wood Elves.
For Tier 3, we have Champions of Poseidon. That's High Elves, Humans, Necromantic Horror, Tomb Kings, Elf Union, and Vampires with their new roster.
And then Tier 4, Champions of Demeter, Chaos Renegades, Khorne, Old World Alliance, and Slaan.
Then we have the Tier 5 teams, which are kind of... honestly, the tournament drags most of the time. Black Orcs, Chaos Chosen, Nurgle, but also Imperial Nobility, which is, feels like a team that you see kind of all over the place in Deering.
And those are the Champions of Hades.
Oh, yes. Champions of Hades.
Yeah. And Tier 6, Champions of Hestia, Goblins, Ogres, Halfling, and Snotlings, as you would expect.
Right. They do always tend to be the bottom tier, even in events where the rules are favorable to them. So.
Yeah, I think Snotlings will probably finish higher than most of the people in Tier 5.
Yeah, maybe. This tournament looks pretty rough on these teams to me. Like, they might all legit be the Tier 6 teams this time.
That's
unlike,
true.
Unlike, say, a Moracle Cup.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, first things up. A coach must take the appropriate Gift of Apollo, which is the starting gold and skill points, according to their godly affiliation and tier. So I'll just run through these real quick. You can do the rest of it. Zeus, Tier 1. I'm just going to just say tiers. Tier 1, 1150 and 6 star player points. Maximum 1 secondary skill. Tier 2, 1160k and 7 SP, which again, it's, I guess it's not really, I guess skill points. It's not star player points, but skill points.
Yeah.
Maximum 1 secondary skill. Tier 3, 1170k, 8 skill points. Maximum 2 secondary. Tier 4, 1180. 9 skill points, maximum 2 secondary. Tier 5, 1190, 10 skill points, maximum 3 secondary. And then tier 6, 1200k, whatever. 11 skill points and unlimited secondary skills. So each tier goes up by 10k and goes up by 1 for skill points. It's not too out of whack. It almost seems like, why bother for the, at least the build? But I don't know.
Though,
I didn't make the rules.
Having 6 tiers does mean that difference between tier 1 and tier 6 ends up pretty significant.
Yeah.
But, you know, one tier to the next, the difference is pretty small team build-wise. Though, I think there are some teams that that extra bit of gold makes a big difference.
Oh, I'm sure. And, again, the quote-unquote big difference is 50K. So, like, it's not a huge difference either way. They could all have been the same points, but I don't think it hurts it. It's just seems a little superfluous.
Mm-hmm. So those gifts there can be spent in, they hadn't described this before, those skill points can be spent with 1 skill point for a primary skill or 2 skill points per secondary skill. Then you can also buy sort of your standard team building stuff with your team. Rerolls at 0 to 8, coaches 0 to 6, cheerleaders 0 to 12, an apothecary if you have one, and 0 to 6 dedicated fans. Start with 0, of course, like you do in tournament rules typically.
Yeah. And then in addition, coaches may use gold to purchase. I don't know why this is different, but you can get a team mascot for 30, weather mage for 30, Bloodwiser kegs for 50k each. Bribes for 100k each, 50k for bribery and corruption teams. Joseph Bugman's allowed for 100k. Mortuary Assistant for 100k. Plague Doctor for 100k. 0 to 2 Wandering Apothecaries for 100k each. And then Master Chef for 300 or 100 for Halfling Thimble Cup special rules.
Yeah, I feel like those must only be split out so they can get Hephaestus in here for something. I don't know.
That's all I can figure out. These are the gifts of Hephaestus.
Yeah.
Okay.
The standouts on this to me are kind of the mascot and weather mage you don't see too often in tournaments. So
and
those
Joseph
are interesting.
Bugman.
And Joseph Bugman, too. And no Riotous Rookies, which is a real burn on like Snotling teams.
Oh, so the difference is the other stuff you actually roster. This is inducements.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah, this is all stuff that's technically inducements normally.
Yeah, I forget that you can actually truly dedicate an apothecary even in a tournament on your team. So, makes sense.
After that, we have what they call Gifts of Dionysus, which is basically an explanation of how they're handling Sneaky Git and bribes. So, if a player has Sneaky Git skill and or Secret Weapon skill on your roster at all, you're not allowed to induce any bribes. But Goblins and Snotling teams are allowed to take bribes if their roster has secret weapons, but not if they have Sneaky Git.
Yeah, and this is to explain how this is all worded out. So, like, this is called The Gifts of Dionysus. Mm-hmm. And it has a nice little asterisk, which we're not getting into, but it explains what all these gods do. And it's the god of wine, vegetation, fertility, festivity, ritual, madness, religious ecstasy, and theater. So I guess that works for goblins and snotlings. Ritual madness, festivity.
I suppose. Yeah.
Reckless, religious ecstasy. I don't know. So like,
maybe the ritual madness.
Yeah, like it's kind of related, but not really. It's just a way for them to squeeze another god in.
I feel that way.
Which is
fine.
But
I mean, you have to deal with this situation just because, basically, of the death roller with bribes and sneaky git.
Yes.
You know, if you allow that to be a thing, it will be a major thing.
Mm-hmm. So. And Borak. I mean.
Yes, and Lord Borak potentially as well.
You knock someone down, he comes over, smashes them in the face, and, well, we got a bribe.
He is expensive enough. It's hard to get a bribe and him on a team, really, but you can do it.
Well, we get into which teams can take a star player, and it's not out of the ordinary.
Yes, absolutely.
So, where are we at? So we're now down to the challenge of Aphrodite, right?
Right, yeah, which we kind of covered before, which affects the squad points. The one thing we didn't cover is there are specific costs to the blessings, which I guess we can just list when we talk about each blessing, I think. It's probably better, how much squad points it costs.
Yeah. Then you can also do a Spartan roster, which is not using any blessings.
Right, and that costs, of course, 0 squad points.
Which allows other people to use them in your stead, ultimately.
Exactly. Yeah. Very likely teams will have at least 1 or 2 or more Spartan rosters, I would assume, on their squad. So
again, just to refresh, in Euro Bowl, each squad can spend up to 8 squad points on blessings. Each blessing can be used a maximum of 2 times in each squad. And your opens, half that. Spend up to 4 squad points on blessings. Each blessing can be used a maximum 1 time on each squad. So let's get into blessings.
Yes.
First up, we got the Blessing of Hermes, which is 1 squad point, which is extra gold. So 1 or more skill points can be exchanged for gold at a ratio of 30k per skill point. So gold earned this way must not take team value above 1200k before added skills.
Yeah, which really, to me, makes this blessing pretty difficult to use.
Yeah.
If you use it on a tier 5 team, it does 10k. Tier 6 teams get nothing out of it. I mean, there's only a few teams I feel like could possibly even benefit from this.
You're really looking at tier 3.
I feel like maybe vampires, maybe, but they are good with a lot of these blessings. But it lets you fit an extra thrall, probably. Maybe necro, because they're always a little bit cash starved. But
seems odd to me. But if you are not wanting to take something else, I guess it's something to take.
I think that maybe that 1.2k or 1.2 million maximums part of the Euro Bowl charter or something. Because I don't know why it's so adhered to. Like, if I'm giving up a skill point. I mean, balance-wise, does it really matter if my goblin team is 1.23, you know? I think they're not allowed to go over this.
Sure, we'll go with that. I don't know. That's as valid an idea as anything else.
Sure, and especially because you could spend, like, 2 skills and get 60. But
yeah.
I mean, only if you're tier 1, basically, so.
Well, even then, you only get 50. I mean.
Yeah, you still don't even get it all. Anyway, I mean, I'm sure there'll be teams who take it, but doesn't seem generally that useful because of the restrictions.
Right.
Next up, we have the Blessing of Artemis, which is a 1-point blessing. It lets you give up 1 of your skill points to allow you to use stacked skills. Basically, tier 1 and 2 teams can have 1 player with stacked skills. Tier 3 and 4 teams can have 2, and tier 5 and 6 teams could have up to 3.
Okay. We have the Blessing of Ares, which is 2 squad points, and this is for star players. So 1 star player can be rostered for tier 1 to 4 teams, Up to 2 star players can be rostered for tier 5 to 6 teams. Star players and couples count as 2 star players for the roster, so like Brickfarth and Grotty and Swift Twins.
Mm-hmm.
Every star player acquired costs additional skill points as follow. So a star player costing 0 to 99k, you lose 1 skill point. 100 to 199k, you lose 2 skill points. 200 to 299k, you lose 3 skill points. And 300 to 399k, you lose 4 skill points. So you are taking up 2 points for the squad and then losing skill points based on the level of the star player. I guess it could happen, but it's not going to happen often.
And especially because they have an additional Exiled and Tartarus rule here, which shows all the star players who are specifically banned from the event, or I think you would see more stars.
Yeah.
But this includes all the mega stars, you know, Griff, Hackflim, Morg, Bomber Dribble Snot, Deep Root, Creek, all of them are banned outright. Then also, additionally, Cindy Pie Whistle, Estelle Levenot, and Dribble and Drool, and Vera Ghoul Chewer. So none of those stars can be taken at all at any cost.
Yeah, which is quite limiting. And
right. There are only a few stars that are really even worth the skill loss and squad points.
Now, this is where we come back to, like, Lord Borak. He's not listed.
Right. Yes, so if he is someone, one of the best unlisted stars.
If someone took a goblin team and took Borak and just decided to load up on bribes, which they could at 50k each, that would be a very daunting team.
But now I you think can't do that. He is favored of only, so I don't think there's any teams that can take him with half-price bribes other than Underworld.
You're right, then. Yeah, I think you're right. I forgot about that.
I mean, if you could take him on, like, a Goblin team or a Black Orc team or something, that I think that would be really good.
No, I think you're right.
So you're going to have to do, I don't know, Chaos Chosen or Chaos Pack, maybe, and then full price bribes, so which you can't even do.
Right, you can't do. So I guess that takes care of itself, but still, it's very limiting, and as someone who doesn't love star players, I'm not totally against it. It just seems very surprising.
Yeah, I generally am not as draconianly against star players as a lot of the Blood Bowl community is in these rules. Obviously, they're too good.
Yes.
And they need reined in. This is extremely reined in, and they're going to be a pretty small factor, which, yeah. I mean, is obviously what most people tend to want. I feel like the way these rules are designed, stars are supposed to be part of it, and it just wasn't before this, so people are very against it.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I mean, what stars are even really worth it for this?
I don't even know at that point.
I mean, you really ideally want to try and stick to guys under 200k if you can, like,
I guess Willow?
Maybe. Or Glart Smashrip. I think he's 195.
Ludgrip?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. I mean, it's something to look into and something we'll have to figure out. But yeah, you're taking out all the meat of all the star players.
Right.
There's nobody great left.
There's the guy they brought back in the vampire book for what's his name?
Count Luther?
Ivan.
Oh, Ivan
the animal.
Yeah.
He's under 200. So Count Luther isn't restricted here and is clearly looks amazing.
Yeah.
He's very costly. There's not a lot of teams that have played with him, but I don't know. Maybe he won't be worth all this cost. It's a lot of cost to take him, certainly.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But I could see him being good. I mean, you hate to take guys that are so close to a break, like, you know, your Mighty Zugs and Karlovan Kills and so forth. But those are a lot of the best stars right now, too.
Yeah, well, that should be interesting. You want to go over Gifts or Blessing of Athena?
Yes, the last blessing they have here is Blessing of Athena, which is lets you spend 1 skill point more than your normal amount. So very good. It does have a restrict. It costs 2 squad points to do this, and it has a restriction that it makes it so that you cannot exceed a total of 3 times on your entire roster, including built-in skills of any skill, which is a little complicated sounding, but say, like, if you're taking a Dark Elf team and you have 4 Blitzers and 2 Witch Elves, you couldn't pick any more block, even if you pick this as your squad power, basically. You can take no block because you already have 4. You can take 1 more dodge because the Witch Elves have 2. You can take up to 3 wrestle, and so forth. But you do gain an extra skill, which on certain rosters can be very nice, especially if you have kind of diverse skills or teams like, say, Slaan or something, where you don't have a lot of starting skills to tie things up.
Now, these are single, it is just 1 extra skill point. So realistically, it's either giving you a secondary that you're taking 1 from the regular points, or you're just getting a single. Now, there's no limitation on how many times a skill can be taken on the regular creation. So it's weird that there's a limitation here.
Right. Yeah. Only if you use this blessing is there a limitation.
I wonder.
So, I mean, for some teams, taking this blessing might be a curse.
Ooh. That's true.
But in general, most teams are going to be better off with 1 more skill point than not.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, take a kick. I mean, you're not going to have 3 kicks. And then
you couldn't have 6 guard on your dwarf team if you have this.
Thank God.
But you have 7 points of skills, so, you know, you have 3 and some mighty blow and something else.
Yep. And then the final bit of the rules is Draconian Laws. The tournament uses the Blood Bowl 2020 edition exhibition play rules. The English version will be used to settle any discrepancies in the rules or rules pack between versions in different languages. And vampires are the latest addition to the game and have been fully included. We retain the right to use or discard any and all rules published after the 6th of November, 2023. So after looking through it, it's not as confusing as it looks, but man, does it look confusing.
Yes. And I think it will be difficult to craft your squad.
Yes.
Just deciding how to distribute blessings is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it also creates a situation where there's, I guess, imbalance between the teams. I mean, if you're a Spartan team, even if you've won the most games, you might play a team that has an extra skill.
Yeah.
Or can take stars and you can't. So, you know.
Or is 50K more, you know?
Yeah. So it kind of opens up in a way where you're normally tournament Blood Bowl, it's sort of balanced, and then it just comes down to the rates and the roles and how you play. But here, really, with the squad distribution, it could come down to that the teams are actively at different levels.
Yeah, this feels very not balanced. It's not imbalanced, but it seems like balance is not important, if that makes sense.
I mean, the squads will be balanced, so it's not, like, unfair, but it's just interesting. I just don't normally see this kind of thing in Blood Bowl tournaments.
No, and it's a lot to take in. I know that there are some other tournaments that are going to be using these rules, so hopefully some of them will let us see how things go before we go to it, or if I go to it.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. I just don't know if I like it.
Right. And I think it'll be hard to do, like, non-team practice events for this.
Yeah.
Because you'd kind of have to allow for imbalanced teams to really practice the rules.
Yeah. And at
if you wanted to practice your Spartan team you're playing, you're going to need to be able to play it against teams that are taking some of these blessings.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not going to be playing for anything important. I would just be playing for fun. So,
you're not
going to
play for the honor of your beloved United States of America, Steve?
Not a chance in hell. Like, it'd be like 40 people that have to get sick before I get chosen for that team. It's like, well, we're stuck with Kilowagi, I guess. Okay, just tell me what to play.
He showed up at the airport. This is best qualification.
Hey, I can do that at least. This is going to be a pain in the butt to look at different rosters, though.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely not something that we can go through every roster and look at. There's no way.
No. I mean, you'd have to do a version of each roster for each blessing, too.
Yeah. And then you don't even know if that blessing is going to count because you have other people on your squad who might be needing them more than you.
Absolutely.
Now, at least in your open, you've got 4 squad points, and each one can be used a maximum one time. I guess you can use multiple on the same squad? But no. Coach can only use one blessing for the team. So, on your open, you can, since there's new, there's twos. I don't know. I'm confused already.
Yeah, if you're taking any twos, then you're going to have some teams with none.
That's true. Yep. So if you take any twos at all, either way, then you're going to have some Spartans out there sitting with nothing.
And you can only take them once, so you can only take two ones. I mean, there's no way you won't have at least one Spartan team.
Yeah. Except on your bowl, those you can take a blessing maximum two times.
Yes. So mathematically, I don't know. You probably could, I guess. I still think you'd have to have a Spartan team, right? Because you could have 4 points in the 1 point things, and you still have 4 teams left. So
no, absolutely. If you use any twos, you're taking away from one of your teams.
Yep, and you can't do 8 ones. So I really like this idea. I just I don't know how to suggest or have ideas here for this, but I kind of wish that there were more 1 point things, like enough 1 point things that you could do that, you know. I mean, but then it's making it even more complicated. So
you could take 8 ones, can't you?
You can only take each one twice, and there's only 2 that are 1 point.
Well, then how's that? So if you have 8, 2 or 2, 2 or 1, so, okay.
You could take 4 of the 2s and no 1s.
So it's somewhere between 4 and 6?
Yeah, it ends up you definitely will have teams that have nothing extra.
That is so weird.
And I kind of wish that, I don't know, more things used these squad points and they weren't as big a deal, or I don't know. Like maybe the stars tiered out where there was 1 squad point level stars and 2 squad point level stars.
Yeah.
Or some inducements cost a squad point, or I don't know.
Yeah, we have no clue.
I shouldn't be trying to make this more complex, you know? Let's see how it goes here.
These rules have broken us, so.
Right? I mean, they're very intriguing. I mean, it's very cool.
It's very different, very unique.
Yes. I've
not seen anything like this before. I'm hoping this doesn't catch on. but it is very interesting.
And I do feel like, I mean, not like I'm this massive expert or anything, but I guess officially I am because I'm on the show. So there you go. That's my best qualification. It looks like a lot of races are viable in this.
That's good.
I mean, just looking at it offhand. I mean, I would say all the stunties aren't, but there's probably 15 races you could realistically pick from your 8 teams, I think. You know, so quite a few.
What sucks, too, is let's say you want to take a stunty race. Now, obviously, if you're taking a stunty race, you want to take a star player for the most part.
Right.
Well, if you're taking a star player, you got to take a Blessing of Ares, and that's 2 squad points.
And are you going to want to dump 2 of your squad points into the stunty team?
No.
To barely make it viable when Not they can't even take good star players?
Right.
Like, to take what? Ripper Bulgrot?
And that's the thing, right? So, like, with the way it is, you're really neutering the stunty teams.
They look really bad in these rules. And I mean, whatever. It's Euro Bowl. Do they need to be great? That's fine. But I think they're kind of crushed by these rules, even worse than World Cup, I'm afraid.
Oh, absolutely. Like, what's the point of even giving them more points for skills and money for creation if realistically they're just getting hosed of star players?
Yeah.
You can take a bigger roster, you can take a couple of trolls and a whole crap load of star player secret weapons, but good luck.
Yeah, exactly. I don't find them to be too viable. And there's some teams that are just hard to make good. I don't really feel like there's, you know, World Cup, there were some teams I felt were just over-tiered like humans.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anybody who's like massively over-tiered on this list. There's maybe some that might be under tiered, maybe
vampires,
like,
maybe?
Are wood elves really, do they really need an extra skill? I don't know, but I don't see anybody way over tiered. I don't think
No. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Maybe for a future episode, we should just like create the best roster from each tier and just see if we can figure that out, you know.
Right. Yeah. Or at least hopefully a good roster from each tier.
Yeah. And there's no sense in making a bowl squad because that's 8 rosters that we have to figure out, and there's just no way. It's just such a pain in the butt. Yeah. But maybe we can figure out a European squad for races, see what we can do and how the squad points affect it. But
yeah, I mean, I do feel a lot of times in tournaments like this, you just assume that the teams are going to be full of the tier one teams. I don't think that is necessarily going to be true, but I also find like all of those teams look playable. So in that sense, I feel like they did a good job here.
Yeah, I don't see anything major standing out to me besides just the utter screwing of Stunty.
Right. Yeah, that's the one exception. Maybe they should be allowed to take those Banned and Tartarus stars or something, and then they'd be back on the table.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, well. Gives us plenty of time to figure stuff out and think. If you guys are listening and can think of something that we're missing or have ideas for rosters or anything along those lines, just reach out, let us know.
One thing we never talked about briefly, as far as looking forward to this, the registration deadlines for the national squads are open up February 1st and run through the 14th. Then it opens up to the European registrations from the 15th to the 29th. So
that's it.
Even if you're doing European, you've got through February to register for this. And then I think roster submission runs until June 30th. So.
Oh, damn. Yeah, good thing you mentioned that because I was not paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, the registration is really coming up. That's next month.
Jeez.
I mean, it will sell out. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're wanting to play in this, you should be on it. And if you're wanting to be on a national team, you're probably trying out and trying to get approved for one right now. That's not something you just show up for anywhere that I know of.
Oh, yeah. No, they're on top of it for there. No problem.
Yeah.
So let's see. Payment processes is in 2 parts. I'm trying to look it up now. But yeah, you're right on the dates and everything. So payment for all coaches belonging to a squad will be submitted by the squad captain. So, like, you can't even sign up as an individual. You have to really have your squad ready to go. You probably can sign up as an individual, but yeah, I better start seeing if I can find people.
Yeah, if you're wanting to go, for sure.
Or just this as my excuse not to go.
I know the US is doing a squad and doing tryouts, but I mean, there very well could be one or two other European US teams.
Yeah.
I think officially, if I'm not mistaken, that it's like officially you're allowed to have 2 national teams, like 1 European team and 1 Euro Bowl team max.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you can have just mercenary teams too after that, as long as there's space available. So
participation fees, 100 euros. You get to play in the tournament, lunch for both days, exclusive 2024 exclusive dice by Akaro, 2024 participation tokens, exclusive miniature by Grebo. That's pretty good.
Have they showed that mini yet?
No, I haven't seen anything about
it. That's exciting. Yeah.
So ultimately, I mean, that's a good value for your money.
Yeah.
If you want to just show up, it's $50.
Yeah, and not play. Yes, to just go. You do get the like the dice and the tokens and mini and stuff.
Okay, that's fair. If you get lunch both days, okay.
Oh, and the lunch, too.
Yeah, that's not bad, then.
So $50 for that's probably not terrible.
Well, I will most likely go. I've got the time. I'll have the money. I know I will have fun. But it's a lot different when, both World Cups I've gone to has been like a group of people super excited for 4 years. Go to World Cup. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And this is more like, well, you got a couple of months to figure out who's going, who you're going with, and then here it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if anyone has an idea or wants to be on this squad, let me know. So got to figure that out.
Who's going to say no to that?
A lot of people, surprisingly. A lot of people. but I don't really have anything else for this one. Do you?
Oh, no, I just, like, the level of teams at this will be amazing. The venue looks awesome. The rules look intriguing. I mean, I think it'll be a real clash of the Titans there in Athens.
Nice. So I will leave it to you to say goodbye in Greek.
Opa.
I don't think that's it.
It's the best I got.
Adios es.
That's what Google says.
Adios es. Right.
So, adios es.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. See you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to World Cup Report Worldwide. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/WCReportBB. You can email us at worldcupreportworldwide@gmail.com or at worldcupreportbb@gmail.com.